basing is an understanding of science as well as defending it from attacks. However, its critics say it's more about getting more money from the government, cracking down on capitalist endeavors. More from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to Radio Wasteland. We have a bit of a, mystery legend pissing match today.
Can you say that?
What is piss a bad word?
I don't know. Might as well say it a few more times, I guess. Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad word.
Okay.
Well, we're testing the boundaries of radio.
That's not testing the boundaries. So today we have all brought some cryptids. For those who don't know what a cryptid is, a cryptid is a critter in this world that there is no proof exists, but people think exists.
We're not saying there's
okay,
no proof.
Okay, there is no scientific proof.
Oh, boy. We're already off to a bad start.
No.
We know. Okay, it's not accepted by mainstream scientific
right, just
experts?
Right, just to sum up, Bigfoot is a cryptid. Nessie
right.
is a cryptid.
There's some right. evidence.
Well, some evidence and, you know, passing the scientific method are definitely two entirely different.
I feel like I have a problem. I feel like I have a problem.
You do have
a problem. Joe already feels attacked.
Yeah.
Totally. Joe's going to storm out of here crying. But luckily, Joe brought the manliest of all cryptids for us to. So basically, before we go on.
Is man in the name.
The premise of tonight's show is Battle of the Cryptids. We have all brought some of our favorite cryptids.
That's right.
On our Facebook page, a poll has just gone live with our favorite cryptids listed out, and you can vote and see who has the coolest cryptid. Now, I realize some people might hop in there and vote because, you know, they're big fans of this, that, or the other thing, but you got to listen. Who knows? You might find out something that makes something cooler than you thought it was. Except for one of them.
Wait, what do you mean, except for one of them?
You're picking on mine, aren't you? Yeah, now I'm concerned.
Talking about mine.
Yeah. But, I didn't come very prepared. I came with what's in my head. You got a computer. You got these, chicken scratch on a piece of paper. You know, I just came with what's in my head, so I'm a little worried about
this. It occurred to me. Well, I got like 10 tabs open of proof about my cryptids.
Proof.
But it occurred to me that I could see myself getting in a weird predicament here because obviously already you guys are telling me my cryptids aren't real, and I'm sitting here thinking...
I like one of yours.
I'm sitting here thinking, I kind of think their cryptids are real. So I feel like there's like that it's all against me and I believe in everything.
Anybody who has listened to this show before, and if you're out there, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mom.
Knows that Joe believes in everything.
I don't mean to. There's some good cases, though.
Yeah.
Well, but if it makes you feel any better, I don't think Chauncey's cryptids are real either. So.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even know what yours are. We'll find out, I guess.
Are yours?
Yes. That's why I chose them.
Oh, all right. So the pissing match begins.
Yeah. I think, after doing research, it was fun because, you know, doing research on my cryptids, which I have been doing for 40 years now, but doing further research, there's all kinds of cool things out there. I mean, the cryptids is a really fun topic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's been going on since, you know, the dawn of recorded history
yeah.
that we know of, you
yeah.
know, cave paintings down to,
right.
you know.
And so for this show to classify, so some of the cryptids, I guess here's what I'm wondering. For instance, there's crocodiles in India that people say don't get over 21 feet. And everyone talks about these 24-foot and 30-foot crocodiles, right? So would those be considered a cryptid if they're, if there's no evidence that they really got that big, but people say they see them, or is that not a cryptid?
I don't think that would be considered a cryptid. And there's actually, I believe on Wikipedia, there's some, you know, more rigorous definition. But I believe unusually large specimens of a known animal don't count.
For this peeing match, is that a cryptid or is that not a cryptid?
I think it has to be shockingly larger.
Okay. Like Godzilla.
You know, well, you know, but not that shocking. But I mean, it, you know, if they get 20, if they get 21 feet, basically, if you could look at it from a distance and go, that's way bigger than any crocodile I've ever seen, you know, I think that counts.
Okay,
you know?
All right, good. Yeah, that's not so scientific, by the way, but okay.
Right, right. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the premise of the show is not exactly
scientific.
Right. Okay. As the resident skeptic, I have to say that science is
questionable?
Yeah, it's a moot point.
Yeah, right.
I know there are several physics professors just listening, and they're fuming right now, I'm
totally,
sure.
Totally, because physics professors are just all, Bigfoot's totally real!
Yeah, that's true. Physics probably wasn't the best choice there. Biology, maybe.
We know Neil deGrasse Tyson is not going for any of this.
He doesn't believe in Bigfoot?
No. He's rudely pragmatic.
Well, he believes in string theory, but not Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Checkmate, string theorist.
Yeah. I'm going with string theory, though. I'm the skeptic.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
You know, I'm a follower of the string theory.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't caught this from our unintelligible ramblings, the premise of today's show is Battle of the Cryptids.
Now, can they call in? They can call in.
They can call in.
What's the number, Chauncey?
The number is 530-605-4567. If you got a cryptid, or if you got some backup for one of us, we sure could use it. But we also have a poll on Facebook. That poll's going to run for about a week. And what's the winner get?
What's the winner get?
The winner gets a show about their cryptid.
An entire show?
An entire show.
All right.
Stakes have never been higher.
The stakes have never been higher.
Yeah, this could be fun. Right? I mean, cryptids, really could be fun.
Isn't it fun already? Yeah. It's currently happening, Jay.
It's currently happening. I know. I'm just excited.
All right. So you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back from the break, Battle of the Cryptids begins.
The beast in me is caged by frail and fragile bars, restless by day and by night, rants and rages at the stars. God help the beast in me.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, it's time for ethanol-free 93 for all your chainsaws, lawnmowers, and blowers and dirt bikes. So come on in and see David at the plant. Barbecue season's starting up, so fill those propane bottles. We have lots of them ready to go. We have race car fuel for all the go-fast folks. And if you're thinking about updating your water heater, give us a call. We have lots of kerosene-fired on-demand water heaters that work great. We have red and clear diesel at all the plants and gasoline. If you need card lock, give us a call. We are the CFN, Fleetwide, and Fuelman that are accepted all over the U.S. In Corning, Robin's getting busier every day with all of our ag customers and has a lot of truckers coming through. Joe in Weaverville's getting a lot busier with the traffic starting to come through at certain times. Northern Lights Energy, home, ranch, construction, and logging. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
It's termite swarm season again when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control.
A young woman working long hours can't wait to be home with her small children. They are her joy, her love, and her inspiration. But she can't go home. Home is not safe. Where does she go? How does she protect her children? Each month, One Safe Place protects over 125 victims of domestic violence. Join us on Saturday, May 6th for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes at 9 a.m. at the Red Lion Hotel on Hilltop to support One Safe Place. You don't need high heels, just a heart to help. Visit ospshasta.org for more information.
The 23rd Annual Banquet for the Reading Chapter of Safari Club International will be conducted May 13th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is the premier organization that protects hunters' rights and promotes wildlife conservation worldwide. Join us for a night of great food and fantastic auctions. Auctions will include African hunting safaris, Argentinian dove hunts, elk, bear, and buffalo hunts. Special drawings for youth and ladies for gear and guns. For tickets, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075.
It's been a long winter, and you've earned a little rest and relaxation this summer. But you can still make a big move towards your college degree with summer courses at Shasta College. Classes start June 12th, and now is the time to register and secure your summer classes. Shasta College has more for you. More classes so you can graduate faster. More programs so you can choose your perfect career path. More flexibility to work around your busy life schedule. And more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Call 242-7650 to get started and get a jump on your future career with summer classes at Shasta College. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help you bring it all together. Get your jump start at Shasta College. Get started. Call today, 242-7650.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland for Battle of the Cryptids. Are you about ready there, Joe, to state?
Yeah, knock it out of the park. But here's the weird thing, though, about this. I'm not sure I'm stating my case that my cryptid definitely exists, okay? It just might.
You're the advocate.
I'm the advocate. Okay, that's what it is. I'm the advocate for this cryptid. It could or couldn't exist. I don't know, okay?
Yeah.
But it's a great cryptid. Okay, so my cryptid is, and I always say it wrong, Megalodon, giant shark, which I normally say Megmaladon.
Megmaladon.
Yeah, because I started reading about sharks when I was like 9 years old.
It's like a cross between a fish witch and a,
I don't even know.
Big king.
Yeah. So I started reading and that stuck. So Megalodon is a giant shark that supposedly existed millions of years ago, but the reason it's a cryptid...
We know it existed millions of years ago.
Well, I said supposedly existed. It might still exist now.
I see.
The reason it's my cryptid is because there have been stories and sightings of something pretty big that looks like a giant 60-foot shark. Now, think about 60-foot shark. That's like a school bus. Actually, it could swallow a car. Right? You could scan like 9 people. Its teeth were 7 inches. Each tooth was 7 inches tall. I mean, it was a huge shark. So anyways, it's a cryptid because it for sure existed millions of years ago, but there are sightings. One of the sightings was in World War II. There's actually a World War II picture supposedly that's going around the internet, which seems to have some kind of support behind it, of some U-2 boats. What do you call those?
U-boats.
U-boats. Thank you. Not U-2
is the band.
U-boats. Yeah, they're floating out there in the middle of the ocean, and a bunch of guys are on top just staring at this giant shark almost as long as the boats going by. right? So supposedly this shark died 1.6 million years ago or so, lived in fresh water, ate whales. They've even found teeth in whale bones, so they know it's eaten whole whales.
Yeah, saying whale-eating shark is a little like saying bear-eating kitten. You know, it's got to be one scary kitten.
Yeah, yeah. Right, bear-eating kitten, good point. Yeah, so the reason they think it went extinct is because it was used to warm water, and as the seas got colder and whales moved out into the cold water, they couldn't follow, and eventually they died. However, it could still be there. There are sightings of something called a black devil fish, something like that, in the Sea of Cortez, which is some giant shark that boats apparently hit. And it breaks their props and all kinds of crazy stuff.
You know, one of my defenses for believing in the possibility of the Megalodon still existing.
Not McMalodon.
No, yeah. Not the McMalodon.
Yeah.
Yeah. is that we know more about the moon than we know about the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, and I feel like I could go on and on forever with this particular cryptid, and I'm going to do one more little bit. So that same point, there are still new sharks being found even as late as 2015, full shark species that we're still finding. So why isn't it possible that the shark's roaming around out there in the deep seas and we haven't found it? And to further that point, there appears to be evidence that a tagged 9-foot long great white shark. Look at me. I'm looking at you guys like I'm about to jump on you. A 9-foot tag great white shark with a tag in it. Instantly, the tag shows that it started diving down deep in the water, and then the temperature of the water went from the ambient temperature to 78 degrees, which would be the temperature of inside a fish. That tag then stayed around really deep, thousands of feet, popped up, came to shore, and they found it, and it had been eaten by stomach acids.
Leading us to believe something either took a bite out of that great white.
Or ate the great white.
So before we move on, just for an understanding, do you know how big, you know, because when we see a great white on TV and a guy in a cage, you know, it's absolutely terrifying. How big are we dealing with your average largish great white shark?
Okay, so a really large great white, a huge great white would be 17 feet, 20 feet, 15 feet, somewhere in that neighborhood.
So let's say 20 feet.
Yeah.
And so this megalodon is
60 feet.
At least three times as big.
At least three times big. And just think about the girth that comes along with that.
Right.
I mean, it's almost, you know, a great white shark, I mean, would look like it's thin.
Yeah, the one thing that I read about them today was that they have, great white has about a one-ton bite pressure, and that the megalodon had something like 10 times that.
Yeah, 23,000 pound per square inch bite pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
It basically, when it attacked a whale, it bit it in half.
Right, right. That's absolutely terrifying. Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Megalodon, pretty cool.
Yeah.
We all got to admit that that's pretty cool. There's a whole week dedicated to sharks. You know, everybody likes sharks, whatever.
Okay, yeah, good point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I got the chupacabra. Right. Are you guys familiar with the chupacabra?
The old goat song.
I am.
The Mexican goat, you're familiar with it?
Do you have one?
I mean, intimately, yes. Yes.
You know, do you have one? Do you have a pet?
We bring chupacabra.
It?
Chupacabra.
Yeah.
Why not?
Not the capybara, but the chupacabra.
Oh!
Yeah, chupacabra, Mexican goat sucker.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the chupacabra, the only evidence of the chupacabra that we've ever found is corpses.
Wait. You mean there's been corpses chupacabras found?
No, of its victims.
Oh.
Animals drained of their blood, goats specifically, but several other types of livestock, drained of blood entirely. And then eyewitness sightings, and it's mostly Latin American. So South America, Central America, a little bit of Mexico. We associate it a lot with Mexico because, you know, logistics. But the chupacabra is new in the world of cryptids. You know, really only the past, I would say, 20 or 30 years, people started seeing them. And there was like a rash of sightings, you know, maybe 10 years ago. But for some reason, man, they caught on. And I think the reason why they caught on and what makes them so cool is the vampiric sort of blood-sucking.
Totally.
Yeah, there's something about blood-sucking that's just kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as cool as Megalodon.
Yeah, cool. It's not going up.
No, yeah.
So what is the chupacabra supposed to be?
Well,
animal of some kind.
This is the hard part. The chupacabra, so, you know, it's got all this other cool stuff, but here's the hard part. The hard part is there's about four different looks for the chupacabra that people have cited them, and the look of the chupacabra is not very consistent. Some of it is on two legs walking like a man, and then varying degrees of that down to walking on four legs. Some are very bony, and some are reptilian and skinnish. Nothing really furry, but definitely some diversity there.
So what do you think that does to your cryptid story that there's so many different versions of it? Are they different versions of that same one, or is it there are a whole bunch of different animals out there? What is?
It's obviously a shapeshifter.
Obviously. I think people are scared to death. Mm-hmm. I think they're absolutely terrified, and when they're terrified, they don't see things very well.
And it's killing goats or all kinds of livestock?
All kinds of livestock, but mainly goat-sized livestock. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're dealing with sheep. You know, every once in a while, it's taking down a cow or something. But for the most part, small livestock.
I don't feel like this cryptid could win. Can I already be calling the race? It kills goats.
I mean, if we're arguing, you know, if we're arguing like who would win in a fight, right? I mean, you already kind of brought out the big guns. It's the Megalodon,
right?
But
what?
If we're arguing on the basis of who could win in a fight on the basis of they exist and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, if the fight took place on the streets of Vegas? I think Megalodon would lose rather quickly.
If he could even get there.
You'd get flopping home. Yeah.
That's fair.
You know, so the chupacabra, I looked into this thing and there really wasn't much to it. You know, I picked mine prior to doing my research. I didn't do my research and then be, oh, that guy's going to win. Mm. I picked mine. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of amazing how popular the chupacabra became so quickly with so little evidence.
Why is that?
I think the vampiric aspect of it was very cool. I think the Latin aspect of it was cool. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that it was an American,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe not North American, but American mm-hmm. in general, made it, you know, because the only real other cryptids we have here are probably Champ and, well, I guess Thunderbirds are here.
Both of my cryptids are from the USA.
That's right, true. Right. You're right. True. But I think the big known ones, you know, that are, because there are a lot of sightings.
Mine are indie cryptids. So.
Indie, yeah, totally. Emo cryptids. Yeah.
Now, I wonder, I don't know how much time we have, but I wonder how much of a coincidence it is that at the same time that the chupacabra's kind of been taken off, the leopards have been coming into the United States and Southern America. They've been migrating up and actually coming in. We've actually been seeing leopards in the United States that we haven't seen in, you know, 50, 100 years, something like that.
And they suck all the blood out of things.
Well, they do have fangs. They do have fangs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, ultimately that would be the skeptic argument towards a lot of these things.
Yeah.
All right. So coming up, we got a little ditty from Sean. We won't say what it is until it happens. You are listening to Radio Wasteland.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2 Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's rodeo time. Steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding. The 2017 Reading Rodeo is coming, and our own Reading Rodeo is the 2016 Hall of Fame inductees. And you can be there this year for all the action-packed fun. Get your advance tickets at ReadingRodeo.com and click on tickets. We will see you and all of your friends at the 2017 Reading Rodeo, May 17th through the 20th. That's ReadingRodeo.com.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR. In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
All right, welcome back to Battle of the Cryptids on Radio Wasteland. Up next, we got Sean. Sean, what cryptid did you
I'm
bring
not
us?
The cryptid.
But well, that's totally debatable. That's totally
he's
debatable.
On video.
The cryptid in this case, is it grainy? Is it sepia? Yeah, no, it's not. The cryptid in this case is Mothman.
Mothman, absolutely and terrifying name. All right.
I feel like you're making fun of me, but...
Wait, they don't even have teeth. Moths don't even... Well, there's a man, so maybe it's a
yeah,
moth.
People have teeth. Yeah, I mean, come on.
All right.
But you may disagree once I walk through some of the stories of what happened with Mothman.
All right, tell us about the Mothman.
So, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, 1966. Five men were digging a grave, you know, as people do in graveyards.
Especially five guys, yeah.
Sure. They spot what they think is a giant bird flying towards them, but as it gets closer and closer, they all come to the conclusion this is not a bird, this is a man-sized creature with gigantic wings. So they report this to the paper, and there's an article in the paper about it that says huge man-bird creature thing spotted, and it's just the short little blurb. No one really knew what to do with it. But then a couple weeks later, two young couples are driving through the area near Point Pleasant, and they spot this thing again, and they get a much clearer look at it. It is a man-sized being with apparently no arms, two gigantic wings coming out of its back, and glowing red eyes. So they're in a car, their headlights are shining right on it, and it seemingly takes no notice, and they are freaked out, so they start driving really fast back towards town, and it starts following them. Now, it was later reported that they coaxed the old Chevy they were driving up to 100 miles per hour, and it continued to follow them. And
that's like Maybelline. That's pretty fast for an old Chevy.
Well, that's kind of not the remarkable part.
Sorry.
It's pretty fast for an organic
a man with
flying.
I totally missed that point too, Sean. I was like, wow, that is fast. You're right, Chauncey.
So anyway, it broke off once they got to town. But throughout 1966, nearly 100 people spotted Mothman. One person spotted it on a roof. One person spotted it in his yard. One other person was driving along the road, and it also chased him. And he apparently got his vehicle up to 75 miles per hour before it broke off. And they all describe it as looking similar. You know, no real defined head, huge wings, white or grayish body, glowing red eyes.
And then the whiter grayish body and is probably why they went with the Mothman moniker.
Yeah, that's probably correct. Some describe it as being covered in fur, some describe it as being covered in feathers, so on and so forth.
Did it hurt anybody?
Now, here's the weird thing. So about a year afterwards, no one's seen Mothman for a while, but people start having weird dreams. One person has a dream that they said was about Christmas presents and drowning people. That's all they could remember from it. Another person has another disturbing dream, but lots of people are having dreams about death, and they all strangely attribute these dreams to Mothman for no apparent reason. They just say, you know, this creature is causing our weird dreams. And then a little while later, on December 15th, the nearby Silver Bridge collapses, and about 100 people die. And lots of people coming back from Christmas shopping. And what do people spy in the water but Christmas presents and drowning people?
Wow.
Also, Mothman was sighted by several people.
Wasn't he on top of the bridge?
Yes, he
like
was
that?
Sighted on top of the
bridge.
But
now, was he not cited after that? So, I mean, does Mothman exist in the cryptid Hall of Fame just for a period of time?
He was cited before and after that. There are historical accounts around the turn of the century
of Mothman,
but his peak activity was 1966 and 1967.
And has there been more sightings since?
There have been a couple sightings since. Frankly, I find them a little bit dubious, at least in comparison to the older ones.
And what made the older ones less dubious?
Well, there were so many people who described exactly the same thing under circumstances that were less suspicious.
And I can't have a giant great white shark?
Some of these people were with other people at the same time, as in the gravedigger examples and the couple examples. You know, some people were coming home from work.
I got to admit, even though Mothman was in a movie with Richard Gere, I have to say Mothman was cooler than I thought Mothman was going to be.
Right.
So props to Mothman. Don't forget to
Harbinger of Death thing.
If you're a fan of the Mothman, don't forget to vote on our poll there on Facebook. All right. On to Joe.
Oh yeah, my second one. Really?
Yeah.
Really? We go from Mothman to my next one, which you guys have shamed me over.
I didn't say anything.
Come on, get it out there.
All right. So, my cryptid is mermaids and mermen, both the masculine and feminine. You could go.
Don't want us to think you're not an equal opportunity.
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay. So here's the thing. You know, did you all watch that Discovery Channel fake documentary about mermaids? Did you two watch that?
No, but are you citing a fake documentary?
No. No, but I will state this. Okay, so mermaids have been spotted going back to, like, Egyptian times. Sirens in that story, which I just forgot, the Iliad or whatever it is.
The Odyssey.
The other one.
Yeah. They were thought to be mermaids. They're in glyphs and all kinds of things. Well, even Christopher Columbus went back with stories about seeing a mermaid. Now, having said that, I think there's a little bit of a blur probably when you start looking at manatees and things like that probably kind of resemble what someone might think is a mermaid. They got big tails and arms.
I have always had a problem with this. You know, I love manatees, dugongs, into a man. Hella cute. But when I look at these things, I don't think, that looks like a woman.
Yeah. So I don't think, in the same vein of vampires being Hollywoodized into, you know, great looking creatures, I don't think that all the stories of mermaids and mermen were of these beautiful creatures that are, you know, hot. I think that was a lot to do with, you know, Hollywood and also ships have been at sea for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So anyways, so I admit that there's, you know, even Christopher Columbus, he writes about it. He says he saw him and I could see. Where when he saw him, it could have been a dugong or a manatee, that kind of thing. However, that documentary had some good points, that fake documentary. And one of the points in that fake documentary, which got me thinking that mermaids could be real, is how adaptive humans have been, right?
The aquatic primate.
Yeah, the aquatic primate. Thank you very much. See, are you going to vote for my cryptid?
I am very familiar with the aquatic primate and the belief that one of the reasons why we are not as hairy as other primates is because we actually spent a time on the coastline or living in water.
Yeah, or share genetics with ones who did take off on that line. Right. We might have spent some time in the shallow waters for a long period of time, and then maybe we were cut off to the rest of land for whatever reason, and we went the other way. You know, maybe there's some aquatic primates went the other way. We are, I believe, the only primates with webbed fingers in between, right? Mm-hmm. Not as much hair. You know, it's starting to make sense, isn't it?
Some of us.
Yeah, some of us. You, Chauncey.
I know.
You're closer to Bigfoot.
I am.
So that's why I picked mermaids is because, you know, I kind of like that theory that, first off, they've been seen throughout history. So something's out there, right?
They got longevity on their side.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
That's true.
They do. And so this, you know, where there's smoke, there might be fire. But then on top of that, there is that aquatic primate, the aquatic ape idea. That we're somehow related. It just makes sense.
Smoked mermaid. That
smoked mermaid.
That sounds really good.
Somehow
that
sounds
all
illegal.
I'm thinking about.
Would you eat smoked ape?
I don't know.
Aquatic ape.
How tasty it is.
They eat monkey brains.
Yeah, that's true. So, anyways, that's my mermaids.
It makes a lot of sense.
Now, there's been some really neat videos and pictures that, of course, look realistic. Who knows, right? But there's pictures of what looks like a fast moving, you know, mer woman. Swimming across by the camera. There's one of somebody in Japan bringing up one of the fish nets. And in the fish net, you see something wiggling around. And then it's a guy that kind of pulls his way out and with a tail jumps back in the water, right? So there's some really neat video out there that's probably not true, but who knows?
What about all the freaky little bodies that have been embalmed of mer people?
Yeah. Mermaid.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Fiji mermaid, which may or may not be true. But interestingly enough, I think that's where Christopher Columbus saw his first mermaid. Was around the Fiji Islands. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, all right.
That's okay, right?
I was ready to come down on Mermaid. I really hope Mermaid doesn't win because then we have to do a whole show on mermaids.
Which I so could.
You could do a whole show on, you'll just cite your mockumentary.
That's right.
All right, Radio Wasteland, vote on our Facebook page. See who the coolest... cryptid is. I almost said mermaid. See who the coolest mermaid is, or give us a call at 530-605-4567. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Don't worry,
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
The Whole Earth and Watershed Festival returns for its 11th year, Saturday, April 22nd at Reading City Hall in Sculpture Park, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This free community-wide celebration focuses on promoting healthy living, building healthy communities, and restoring a healthy planet. Fun for all ages, loads of giveaways with over 130 exhibitors. There's something for everyone. Loads of kids' activities for preschool through high school, including awesome activities at the STEM tent, laser tag, and a climbing wall for kids and adults. The new Innovation Tent offers informative presentations throughout the day, local restaurants and breweries. And the Shasta Growers Farmers Market will offer great food along with incredible live music and entertainment on two stages all day long. You can even test drive an electric vehicle or join the March for Science. RABA is offering free shuttle from the downtown terminal to City Hall all day, and you can leave your bike in the free guarded bike corral. For complete details, visit our website at wholeearthandwatershedfestival.org or email readingwew@gmail.com for more information. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Reptilicus is silly, but he really illustrates the great array of monsters all over the place. Not just in Japan, but across the planet. An A to Z gamut or gargantuan panoply.
Example, please.
Or name a land.
Belize.
Oh, geez. Easy peasy. Mesa maze. See, in the Yucatan, you can meet El Cadejo. In Belize, they believe in him. They're not afraid to say so.
Scotland.
Nessie's living up in a lot.
How about Poland?
Scary, scary crow named Babai.
So it's not just Godzilla?
Well, duh, crow. There's a lot that could kill you.
Hey.
Tom. Sorry, crow.
Okay.
Rose.
Joe.
Yo, Jonah, how's the chorus go?
Every country has a monster they're afraid of in their nation.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. It is Battle of the Cryptids. So, where are we at? We're at me?
Yes, I think so.
All right, I brought, and Joe says I'm cheating. First of all, how's our vote look online there, Joe? Who's winning?
All right, so far, the one you're about ready to talk about is already is tied for number one.
With
one that you haven't talked about yet.
So apparently, that is bizarre. By not talking about them,
they're winning. Apparently, I have convinced everyone not to vote for mine.
We're actually making them worse.
Yeah, I can't even tell you.
Who has the least amount of votes? Anybody?
No, there are two tied for number one, which you two are about to talk about, and then mermaids, Megalodon, Mothman, and Chupacabra are all in last place. Same amount of votes.
All right.
How many votes?
Well, here's mine, and Joe says I'm cheating, and it's the plesiosaur. Anybody who doesn't know what a plesiosaur is, it's basically a dinosaur. You know, think of the long necks from the Land Before Time, probably a good reference for all the educated folk out there. Only it's got little flippers, and it hangs out in the water. And basically, it is what a lot of people have assumed was Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
And I chose Plesiosaur because there's also Champ in Lake Champlain who has also been equated with being a Plesiosaur. So my cryptid is not all the other things that these things might be. My cryptid is
the Plesiosaur. Got it.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? The anti-Plesiosaur?
Yeah, as I grew up, I wanted to be all about Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Right? That was because that was the one story you hear about when you're growing up. Well, if you're older than Sean.
Yeah, that was definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Turned into a lot of kids' movies during your time, I think.
Yeah, it kind of, Nessie kind of sold out, I think.
You think totally. So?
Yeah.
Yeah, it became the seahorse or whatever that was.
Mainstream.
Yeah, yeah. The water horse.
Yeah, water horse. My favorite X-File, though, is, do you remember that X-File?
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. So,
So I find this one to be very believable because, as we were saying when we were doing the Megalodon, you know, there is a lot in the ocean. Notice I didn't say it during the mermaid, but I did say it during the Megalodon. There's a lot in
Somebody
the ocean that, that we just, haven't been able to find. And
we're talking about lakes though.
Well, Loch Ness is connected to the ocean.
And it's one deep, deep loch.
Okay. It is underground, connected to the ocean. And then Champ in Lake Champlain, that's connected to the ocean as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, there is one scientific, really interesting thing that happened in Loch Ness, if you ask me. And Chauncey's looking at the clock because I babble too much. There was a sonar scan that went through there, and a lady who is an expert with dolphins and whales listened with a microphone through the whole loch. And she actually heard in the loch, recorded it, something that would be similar to a dolphin or something like that hunting, but a sound she's never heard before. And it definitely was an animal. It was definitely pinging like a dolphin or a whale might, but totally unique sound.
There you have it. Mine speaks for itself. Yeah. Vote for the Plesiosaur.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that the old school sightings of Hudson as he was you know, coming to America and mapping the area, he was a sighting of Champ.
Of Champ, that's right.
Right, mm-hmm. And then the Native Americans around there had tons of stories about this as well.
So your plesiosaur is Champ and Loch Ness. It's the plesiosaur that somehow made it and living in the lakes.
Right.
Yeah, because that's true. There's places that when he was trying to come across and he was coming with the Indians, they wouldn't cross.
Right.
Because of the thing that would eat the horses.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then before we move on, here's the other interesting thing about Loch Ness, and that is supposedly quartz deposits at the bottom, which supposedly
time travel
might be time travel. And so the reason why it's coming and going is that it's actually passing through a time portal from the Triassic or whenever it is from period and coming up and looking
total
around.
Plot twist there.
Well, you know, I'm just saying there's a lot of options here, a lot of options for this.
I think he's trying to waste time, so you can't get your next cryptid in there.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, I
got to tell you, your last one has the coolest name. What is it?
The Jersey Devil.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't actually have as much to say about the Jersey Devil as I do for Mothman, but back in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey in the 1700s, there was a woman everyone called Mother Leeds, and she had 12 children. And she got pregnant again, and she was so upset by this.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, all right. We all would be, right? And she says, my next child is going to be the devil, because she was so upset by this. And when this child was born, according to witness reports, it rapidly underwent a horrifying transformation into a horse-like creature, though bipedal, and with bat wings. And it just kind of burst out of the house and flew away. And since then, off and on, particularly around the turn of the century, 1909-ish, it has been cited a number of times, almost by as many people as Mothman, just flying around in the sky. At one point, some soldiers fired a cannon at it, and they said they hit it. The shot was true, but it had no effect.
The shot was true. That's that's how you know that the quote is actually from 1909.
The shot is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's also how I talk, but that is, that is the quote. And yeah, it's, as I understand it, been cited every now and again since then.
So here's something interesting, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually sounds familiar to the Mothman a little bit. It's got wings and
Them because they're kind of similar creatures, and creatures similar to these two have been spotted all over the world.
Yeah.
Singapore, in several places.
In Greenwich, during December 1925, a local farmer shot an unidentified animal as it attempted to steal his chickens. I'm also thinking the chupacabra. And then photographed the corpse. Afterward, he claimed that none of the 100 people he showed it to could identify it. And on July 1937, an unknown animal with red eyes. This is under the Jersey Devil.
That's right.
With red eyes, seen by residents. You know, so, I mean, these are some similar animals here.
There are a number of cryptids that fall into the category of gigantic winged creature with red eyes.
Hmm.
Yeah, bipedal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mothman and the Jersey Devil both fit that mold, and so do a couple of others.
So could these be devils? Yeah. I mean, are these demons and devils? Are they a cryptid? What are these? Do these cross over into our other shows?
Well, I mean, if you believe in demons and devils, they very much could be.
I don't think that makes them not a cryptid.
I don't know if demon or devil counts as a cryptid. That's for the possession show.
That's fair.
But, I find these little colloquial ones to be a little bit more believable when you have a small town that all believe in it, more so than a bunch of people who are, let's say, going to see Nessie. Yeah. I'll even shoot mine down a little here, who are making money off of it.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, and instead you have this small town of, you know.
And this was the turn of the century, but Point Pleasant was 1960s.
Right. You know, basically a town of terrified people. You know, they're not making money off of this. I mean, in the end, maybe they have, the Jersey Devil Cafe or something. You know, but
yeah, I think they made a statue of Mothman.
All right. So our poll is going to be going on Facebook for about a week. The winner gets a coveted show about their cryptid. So if you'd like to know more about your cryptid, you go on Facebook and you vote. This has been Radio Wasteland.
Jersey Devil, people. From the back of the
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump believes an attack on police officers in Paris this week will help a national security conscious presidential candidate in this week's election.
Wading into French politics, the president said he believes Thursday's attack will help Marine Le Pen in Sunday's voting. He told the AP that Le Pen is the strongest on borders. The president said whoever is the toughest at the borders will do well in the election. American presidents typically avoid weighing in on specific candidates running in overseas elections, but Mr. Trump suggested his opinion was no different from an average observer. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Polling stations open today in France's far-flung overseas territories one day early.